In a recent issue of a popular weekly magazine, there was featured a report of what was entitled The Quest for Spiritual Survival. Numerous groups were mentioned as belonging to various religious movements of the day. Two of them did mention the name of God. One advocated witchcraft, and one was a fast-growing sect of Buddhists. Now, all this right here in so-called Christian United States. All of them had one thing in common, however. There was no mention on the part of any of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nor was the only authoritative revelation of spiritual matters concerning man and concerning the only true God made mention of. His holy word, the Bible, dear friend, is the only infallible record that we have. We can know nothing about spiritual matters apart from his word. Now, we notice in the account, too, that everything was made of man and his thoughts and his efforts. Nothing was made of Christ and his word and his work. Now, when this is the case, there is no wonder that men are in spiritual darkness, a darkness that is manifested in superstition and idolatry and in the exaltation of the creature man. I would like today, in these few moments with the book, to inquire a little as to just why men end up in spiritual darkness, especially in view of the fact that here in this country, we have the gospel proclaimed all around us. God has blessed this country with the freedom to preach and to hear the Word of God. Bibles can be purchased anywhere. In fact, they can be obtained freely. The Word of God is preached every day. Gospel tracts are given out by the millions. There's no excuse for anyone not knowing the way of salvation. It's all around us, and God has made it available. Why, then, are men still groping for light when they are surrounded by it? I trust that we shall show that the answer is found first in the basic principle that is true regarding all men. And this is taught by the Lord Jesus himself in John 3. Second, I would like to notice a picture that shows why men are in spiritual darkness, a picture given to us in the book of Genesis, chapter 4, in regards to Cain. Third, I would like to show the practice of man that has emanated from this basic principle. And we see it from the beginning of man's history right down to the present. And then finally, I would like to show the prophecy in regards to man's end because of his rejection of the truth of God. For that is really the reason that men are in darkness. It's not that they do not have the light around them, it's that they reject the light, refuse the truth of God. This is what the Lord Jesus had in mind in John 3:19, I believe, when he said, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Men are in darkness because they love darkness. They want to be there. They could be in the light, but they would rather have darkness. The darkness covers up their evil deeds, and hence, this is why they do not wish to come to the light. In fact, their enmity toward the light is manifested. It was manifested toward him who is life and light. The Lord said, "I am the light of the world." But men love darkness rather than light. They rejected him. And the same thing is true today. Rejection of the Lord Jesus binds men in darkness because they love darkness. They love their evil deeds. Next, we shall notice in Genesis chapter 4 the picture that gives us the same principle as to why men are in darkness. It's in regards to Cain. We read in verse 3 that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He was a religious man. He had a religion without faith. Abel, we read, brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why did the Lord have respect to Abel's offering? Because Abel approached God by faith in God's way. We read that Cain had an offering that did not please God, and consequently, he became angry, his countenance fell. In Cain, we see a picture of those who reject the light, for he had the same instruction as Abel as to how to approach God. God had taught Adam and Eve, their parents, that it was only by sacrifice and not by fig leaf aprons of their own efforts. Sin had separated man from God, and the only way that man could approach God was by a sacrifice for sin, and God said that had to be by the shedding of blood. There was no other way. Same thing remains true today, dear friend. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It's not the blood of bulls and goats, however. Abel's sacrifice was a picture of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and sacrificed himself and shed his blood for the remission of your sins. Like Cain, there are millions today who refuse this way of salvation, and consequently they turn to their own way, which is not the way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Many are the various sects, false cults, and religions. But, oh dear friend, there is only one way to God, and it's by the way of the cross. The reason that men are in spiritual darkness and groping in a spiritual quest for survival is because they have rejected the only source of light and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning to Romans chapter 1, we will notice the practice of men has been the same, consistently so, right from the beginning. God hasn't ever left man without a testimony to himself in one way or another. And before he gave his precious word, which you have in your hand and are privileged to listen to, he gave the light of creation to man. But men did not wish to retain him in his knowledge. And so men rejected the light of God's creation. You say, well, could men have known God through creation? We read, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Those are God's words, his pronouncement, his verdict about man. And because man rejected the light of creation and glorified not God, man became vain in imagination, and his foolish heart was darkened. And then we read, he changed the glory of God into an image like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Oh, how we see this to be so right to the present day, that wherever the light of God's truth is rejected, man turns to the creature to worship. Then you notice this also follows in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is always the case. Rejection of spiritual truth always leads to moral degradation and sin. Can we not see this? Do we not see it all around us today, manifesting itself more clearly, more boldly, outwardly, openly? It is so. God's day of grace is fast coming to a close. He will not always linger in patience for men to come to him. But man is in spiritual darkness today, who rejects the light of God's testimony. God has given men not only the testimony of creation, he has given him the testimony of his word. That precious book, the Bible, from cover to cover is his word, in which he reveals himself in his purposes concerning man. He unfolds what man is as a sinner in need of a Savior, and he tells that he has provided that Savior for man. And he can have spiritual life only in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, we notice in prophecy the same principle that shall be at work in the time to come. We read that Satan is going to be used to empower Antichrist in the tribulation period to deceive all those who are left behind here on earth after the rapture of the church. The next great event to take place in this world is the coming of Christ to the air to remove from this world of sin and darkness. To remove, I say, to the glory, the church for which Christ died. To raise the dead believer body, and then to unite all together in the glory with the Lord himself. We shall be like him, we shall see him. I'm speaking of the believer in him, the born-again believer. Those who are left behind are those, how many? Millions, no doubt, who have made a profession of Christ. Is my listener amongst that number? And yet you have never been born again? Oh, listen. We read here that Satan is going to deceive such because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and God will send a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is God's judicial government upon those who reject the truth now and who are left behind at the rapture to be doomed forever. And then, finally, we know eternal judgment awaits such in the lake of fire, for whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. You need to be in the book of life. To be there, you must be born of God. You must be brought to Christ to put your faith in him. How can you do this? Do you ask, how might I be saved? Oh, let me just refer you to John chapter 3 when the Lord Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, one who had asked the question, how can these things be? And the Lord unfolds to him an incident in the history of Israel which Nicodemus was acquainted with. The serpents had bitten the children of Israel because of their murmuring, and they were dying. But God provided a remedy, the serpent of brass lifted up. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and those that looked on that serpent lived, so the Lord said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You desire to be saved? God has provided salvation for you. Your quest for spiritual survival will be reached. You shall find if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus now. We read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you not claim that verse as directed to you? And put your name in whosoever? Will you do that? If you do, you shall have everlasting life. You shall not perish. The last verse, chapter 3 in John, I would leave with you in closing today. And you will notice there are two parts to that verse. The first part, goes like this: He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. In that part of the verse is everyone that has trusted the Lord Jesus as a Savior and his spiritual quest for survival has been found. In the second part we read, But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the only other class that there is in the world. There may be 1,500 different religions, but friend, all the religions of men come under the category of doing something, being something, exalting man, leaving out Christ. God's religion of life and light is found in what Christ has done. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right this very moment, and you'll receive everlasting life, and never will the spiritual doom of darkness be your portion. God grant that He will bless this message to every listener.